right, without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this, that one man scorned and covered with scars still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable stars.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke program on the Rents Radio Network, satellite network that goes all over the world with news and information that's of great importance to both people of European descent and really all the people on the planet, because every race, every heritage, every people, every tradition has the right to preserve itself, has the basic human right not to be exploited by any other people or victimized by any other people or harmed by any other people. Everyone on this planet, every expression of humanity has the right to live, and has the right to live free and independent. We had a period on this globe for many, many thousands of years of what you might call as imperialism. If you had the power, you went and you controlled other people's lands, actually often committed genocide against other peoples. Certainly, white people participated in these kinds of actions, but every race on the planet has also done those kind of actions. Even the Indian tribes of Central and South and North America often had genocidal programs, such as the Mound Indians that had the Mound culture all over the middle of North America, which were brutally extinguished and wiped off the North American continent by other tribes. Or you could look at what happened with the Aztecs, or you could look at what happened in ancient Asian history or ancient African history or even more recent African history. No race on this planet is free for any past history, free from any past history of what you might call imperialism or expansionism on the basis of suppressing or enslaving or empowering over other people. But certainly, I believe very strongly that the incredible hate campaign, and I believe it's a hate campaign against Europeans and Americans and other European peoples around the world, has been purposefully orchestrated, purposefully created by the Jewish extremists who dominate our media, dominate our academia, dominate our political funding, dominate our Hollywood, dominate our publishing, not only here but around the world. And the other publishers who are non-Jewish around the world, they also are kind of in a position where they're almost forced to go along with this, because they know that the entire weight of the media and political establishment will line up against them. I often say it this way: if someone like, and he actually is an enemy, I think, of the European people overall, Bill Gates, who has a lot of self-hate and self-guilt, if he suddenly came out tomorrow, or anyone who's high up in Microsoft or any other major corporation, anyone high up in Apple for that matter, if tomorrow they started defending European heritage and values and the right of Europeans to maintain their culture, their heritage, their societies, they would be absolutely destroyed. I really believe that. Not only with a tremendous cacophony of political propaganda against them, but also you'd be finding them facing antitrust suits or other kinds of economic situations, tax investigations, because the pressure of the people that rule and the influence of those, if they saw an enemy, if Bill Gates or any of these individuals came out and began to talk about the crimes of Israel against the Palestinian people and how that Israel is a modern, quote, imperialistic state, and how that globalism is really another kind of imperialism today. It is a global imperialism of one tribal group overall. Yes, there are Gentiles involved, no question about it, many of them. But obviously, these powers of globalism are really controlled and in the service of international radical Jewry rather than in the service of any other people. Otherwise, why would they accept and promote a Israeli state for Jews and only dedicated to Jews? Why would they accept an Israeli state that steals people's lands in the West Bank and makes roads, many major roads, available only for Jews, Jews-only roads? Could you imagine the media's response to white-only roads, say in Louisiana or Michigan or someplace else? A state that outlaws marriage between a Jew and a non-Jew. Could you imagine the response to media? So obviously there's something special, there's something different about the Jewish power, and those are the ones who are really at the top of the globalist issues. There are conspiracies, certainly. There always have been conspiracies or groups of people that work for their particular interests, whether it be economic or social or political or whatever. But the most powerful cohesion of the New World Order, the most powerful cohesion of globalism, is a Jewish ethnic supremacism that they seem to be promoting and all over the world. We got a little background noise there. I don't know what that is, but we'll go forward and we'll come back to that. I want to start the program out by reiterating some, if you heard the news at the break before I began my soliloquy here, you might have heard about the fact that Bob Strait is now dead. He's died finally from his injuries in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, a lot of people listening don't know and won't recognize the name of Bob Strait. And you don't recognize the name of Bob Strait or Nancy Strait because of this control of the media that I so often talk about and because of the domination of this media, which is meant to do certain things. The media is meant to, and the media purposefully are the leaders of it, certainly. I'm not saying every individual media does this, but people learn pretty quickly what they're supposed to do and say. The media, of course, very often tries to make white people feel guilty for real or alleged sins, both current and historical. We saw the Trayvon Martin case. Everybody knows that name, Trayvon Martin. And they know that name not only in America, but in much of Europe, because he was an African-American teenager who was shot down. And the evidence on this case is not decided yet, and there's a lot of evidence that the shooting of Trayvon Martin was in self-defense, where the person who shot, who was an Hispanic male, by the way, not even an overwhelmingly European male, shot Trayvon Martin in self-defense. I need to talk about these things sometime to make my listeners who are not European and who are Europeans who have this self-guilt in them so often understand what's going on here, understand that what they're getting in the Zionist-controlled media, the same media that lies to them about Palestine, the same media that lies to them and covers up the crimes of Israel, the same media that promotes globalism, the same media that promotes these murderous wars, killing literally millions of people and costing the world trillions of dollars, the same media that promotes and covers up international banks who steal trillions from every population in the world, including those of the people of the United States, of Canada, of Europe. The same media is orchestrating a tremendous anti-European campaign. Now, for those of you who don't know who Bob Strait was, or is, Bob Strait, we got something in somebody's computer that's coming up on us that's trying to check a file or something. I don't know what it is. I don't think it's my computer, but who knows? You never know what happens. But Bob Strait, of course, was murdered in Tulsa, Oklahoma. In fact, I know a lot about Tulsa because it's the town I was born in a long time ago now. He and his wife of 65 years, his wife, Nancy Strait, had a home invasion or suffered a home invasion where his wife, 85 years old, was attacked by two black males. She was, in fact, sexually assaulted and raped. He was attacked and harmed mightily in that particular attack. He basically was forced to watch, injured and hurt, his wife of 85 years, 85 years old, be sexually tortured, raped, and she died from that horrific assault. These were kind people, never committed a crime in their life, never hurt anybody. Everybody who ever met them said they were the most giving and kind and great people in the world. Well, now Bob Strait has joined his wife. He has succumbed finally to his injuries, and authorities are thinking about charging the black individuals with the criminal individuals with murder. And the only reason why I have to even bring up the fact that they were, in fact, African-American is because look what the media does. From the very beginning of the Trayvon Martin case, it was a white American. Even with no evidence whatsoever that there was any racial motivation in the crime, the man himself had mentored and supported black children. But it was brought out that the shooter was white and that the, quote, victim was black. But in this case, Nancy Strait, 85 years old, and her loving husband, Bob Strait, tortured, raped, murdered by black males. But there's no mention of the race of the perpetrators in the articles, and there's no effort to get people upset. I'm not trying to get people upset. I really believe that what they're trying to do is they're trying to incite both blacks, not so much whites, obviously, because they don't talk about that, but they want to incite them to continue their divide and conquer strategy. You see, the Jewish extremists who control our societies harm everyone. They are against the David Dukes of the world and the other people who stand up for European American rights and all human rights, really. And they're also against men like Mr. Farrakhan, Minister Farrakhan, who dares also to expose them. They're against European Americans preserving their heritage and their traditions, and they're also against every people preserving their traditions. They want us all to be made over by the world globalist media and the world globalist values that are not really values but anti-values. Because certainly what we have in terms of the Hollywood media is something that is destroying the values of the people of the world, not promoting higher human values and traditions. I have one more thing in the news, and I'm going to go to my guest. There was an interesting article. There was an appearance by one of the biggest anti-Zionists in the world, the most well-known anti-Zionist, Norman Finkelstein, on BBC TV. And the whole thrust of the program was that Jews in the United States are distancing themselves from Israel. And so basically, we don't have to worry about the Jewish community because they're going to go against Israel, and there's not going to be a problem with Zionism, there's not going to be a problem with Jewish extremism, and so forth. I think this is very disingenuous, and I want to thank Gilad Atzmon, one of the people I most admire in the world, a former member of the Israeli Defense Force, who has exposed the fact that even some of the so-called anti-Zionist Jews have actually worked in a very surreptitious way to harm and to really kind of be as a third move or a third force to weaken the forces of anti-Zionism in the world. And he shows that. He shows how many of these leftist Jews, in fact, change the debate and don't let us talk about the most important issues in the debate. Another good example of Norman Finkelstein was the fact that just a couple of years ago, he condemned Walt and Mersheimer's book on the Israeli lobby and tried to poo-poo the idea that the Israeli lobby really has power. And this is very similar to another Jewish anti-Zionist, Noam Chomsky, who blames the corporations. And he, too, says that there's no great Israeli lobby or Zionist lobby or no sort of Jewish ethnic supremacy going on here. I really think, again, the opposition is often led by them to absolutely defeat that opposition. And today I have with me, again, a very fine, wonderful intellect, Guillermo Rudolph, who has suffered greatly for saying what he believes about historical facts and ideas, that what his opinions are. He suffered years in prison just for simply having an historical and a scientific opinion. And he was talking the other day about the Holocaust, and we're not here to debate all the facts of the Holocaust, but he was talking the other day about the Holocaust, and he pointed out that it was, in fact, a new religion in the West today. And this new religion is a purposely contrived religion to support Zionism, and to support the cause of Jewish extremism and Jewish power around the West, because it causes people not to really question or really have criticism of the Jewish power that is so rampant across the country. Gemma Rudolph, it's so good to have you with us again. I'm so glad you could join us, and I'm looking forward to getting your comments on any of my beginning comments, or you could go right into the Holocaust as new religion, whatever you prefer, sir.
Yeah, thank you for having me on again. And yeah, I got cut short of what I was saying last time I was on your show, and that was about the Holocaust being a religion. Now, of course, that's just a statement which I think requires a little bit of an explanation. When I first got confronted with the issue, the first thing I did was to look up what actually defines a religion. And I think the most important thing, the most important characteristic of a religion, is also something that is missing in our case when we talk about the Holocaust, because that's the existence of a God. There is no such thing as a transcendent entity called God in that religion. So if it is referred to as a religion, usually they say it's kind of a secular religion, which is a contradiction in itself a little bit. But it does have what other religions sometimes do not have. It does have a devil. And that's Adolf Hitler.
Devil, that's right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it works out nicely for everyone, almost everyone. So it has a belief like Christianity in its own crucifixion, and in that case it's the Jewish people as the collective Messiah, the Lamb of God that has been slaughtered by the Nazis. It has its own high priests. Most importantly, you have the Holocaust historians that watch over the maintenance of the true dogma, the mainstream historians I'm talking about. It has its own temples that are the various Holocaust museums and memorials, particular the sites, of course, where it is said to have happened, and the camps in Poland and in Germany. It has even its own holidays. In particular, it's the only religion or ideology or whatever you want to call it that has a holiday that is commemorated or celebrated all over the world, and it has been instituted by the United Nations. That's the Holocaust Memorial Day on January 27th. That's the day when the Red Army occupied the Auschwitz concentration camp. Now, this is imposed onto the whole world. That's unheard of any other ideology or religion. Of course, it has.
Is there any worldwide UN holiday, say, for a Christian holiday, whether it be at Easter or Christmas or for any Islamic holiday?
No. It does appear, apply only to Christians. It does apply only to Muslims. There is nothing but the United Nations. It was declared binding, kind of morally binding, by all members of the United Nations, by all of humanity. That's the only one we have, actually. Yeah. That's a unique feature that encompasses the entire planet Earth. And this religion has its own saints. Of course, these are the alleged or the actual victims in the concentration camps. It has its prophets, the eyewitnesses or self-declared eyewitnesses who speak about what has happened, and they are have to be believed right from the start that everything they say is true and can't be questioned. It has its pilgrimages to the former German concentration camps. If you ever have been there and have watched the pilgrimages of the believers going in there with their heads down and even praying at the various sites, putting up candles, that's exactly what that is. You have the Inquisition. It's the media all over the world keeping a close eye on the orthodoxy, the orthodox teachings, that nobody trespasses into forbidden territory.
And imprisoning thousands who dare to.
Yeah, they have the secular arm of the Inquisition. That's the prosecution in many countries where people get put in front of courts on short trials, being punished for their deeds. And I mentioned already there are the millions of believers who zealously at times defend the belief and turn in non-believers and dissidents. So all these aspects are there. The God is missing, but in exchange we have the devil. So yeah, it is. It is the first ever history of mankind that is kind of subscribed by the whole planet. Well, except for a small minority that does not. So that's where we are with this thing, and you can imagine what kind of power it requires, power of the mind of the world to actually create and force that religion upon the whole planet. That's unique. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. It really is kind of amazing, isn't it? And it's it doesn't it seem logical? I'll ask the people at home listening around the world or at work, wherever they are, I'll ask them to think about the fact that, you know, okay, let's say that everything about the Holocaust is exactly as they said it is. There were 55 million people, according to most mainstream sources and most historians, that perished during the Second World War. 55 million people. Doesn't it seem that it would have made more sense to simply do a memorial to all the innocent civilians on both sides, and the innocent people, and the people of who were impressed in the military of both sides, who died or suffered or were dislocated and had terrible situations in that conflict, instead of simply singling out Jewish concerns. We got a break now, Gammer, and people at home, we'll be back in just a minute with a further discussion of this very, very fascinating subject.
My heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest, and the world will be better for this, that one man scorned and covered with scars still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable stars.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Keep on looking for the light. Oh, can't you see the morning after? It's waiting right outside the storm. Why don't we cross the bridge together? And and find the place that's safe and warm. It's not too late. We should be giving.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're back, and we're with Gamma Rudolph. This is David Duke on the Rinse Radio Network. And remember, our archives are available. This is an amazing show today. I think that I've never heard it phrased quite as well as Gamera has phrased it, talking about the Inquisitions and for this, quote, new religion, and what an incredibly vivid analogy, metaphor, really, for exactly what's going on. Not even a metaphor, it's a reality. I also want to mention, Gamera, I tell you what, I agree with about everything you've said. I have one slight disagreement with you that I want to bring up. You said that you're not quite sure there's a God in it, but there is a God in this new religion. And I really believe that God is very clear, and that God is the Jewish people collectively. If you read the Old Testament, the light unto nations, what it talks about, those who do not bow down before the God are cast out, and they're thrown into the pit of fire. I guess that's like Saddam or the Palestinians under the phosphorus, or what they want to do to the Iranians. If you look at the situation with the, quote, Jewish religion today, there was a major article. I'd like you to take a look if you get a chance to see it on my website. In one of the major newspaper chains in the United States, written by Jews, talking about the fact that about 50% of even the Jews that go to synagogue, even the ones that attend synagogue normally, or members of synagogue, are in fact atheists who don't believe in God. And often they lead in the prayers, they lead in the ceremonies and so forth in the synagogue, and they say they're there for the preservation of the Jewish people to connect with their Jewish culture. If you look at the Talmud, you find many revealing quotes that saying such as that if you hit a Jew, you were hitting God. I can quote from many, many Jewish Orthodox leaders talking about the fact that the Jews are actually the seed of God, that they are, in fact, God. And so they're kind of like, it's kind of like a story of a Jesus who was persecuted and then rises from the ashes, rises from the, quote, Holocaust, and that we're supposed to lay down and worship them. And as far as regular prayers are concerned, you know, in the West, if you don't make regular prayers, I remember the case of Bruno Gollnisch. Now, Bruno Gollnisch, of course, is in the European Parliament, a very close friend of mine, a man I much admire. And in fact, he and Jean-Marie Le Pen led me into the European Parliament at one time on the floor of the Parliament. And I'll never forget that in spite of my controversialness. They're so very honest and straightforward men. And Bruno Gollnisch was prosecuted because when he was asked by a reporter, you know, do you believe in the Holocaust? And he says, well, I don't know. He says, I don't know what the realities of the Holocaust. I've heard different aspects of it. I'm not sure I can give a conclusion about that. And for that, he was prosecuted. So not only do you simply not have to not deny the thing. You know, it's not somebody who puts down God, but if you don't get up there and say, you know, I believe, and pronounce to the world that you believe when asked, then you can actually go to prison or be prosecuted criminally in France and other countries as well too. So those are just a couple of my comments. Tell us some more about this Holocaust religion and some more aspects of it that give you this kind of thesis.
Well, the way you've now defined God is, of course, I have made the explanation, God as a transcendent entity, as something that is not material, not from this world, and that's not included in that.
I understand.
In that secular religion, of course, if you go the way of self choosing a God, like the Jews have self-chosen themselves as the chosen people, because it's all people-made, it's not God-made, all the ideology, and right. Then they declare themselves God. If that were the case, then you're, of course, right. And I absolutely agree with you. We had the persecution and prosecution of non-believers, of heretics, or just doubters in the medievals or in the early modern era, with the Holy Inquisition by the Catholic Church, and unfortunately some parts of the Protestant Church joined in later on. And that has stopped 200 years ago or so. And nowadays, you don't get prosecuted or not even persecuted or cast out of society in any way if you say you don't believe in the Christian faith or you don't believe in the Muslim faith. you know, when you're in Muslim countries, some of them they are so quite radical, so it may happen you get in trouble there if you say you don't believe in Allah and what have you. But in the Western world, most certainly, we have freedom of religion and also freedom of not believing in anything, except for this one aspect. And indeed, just already doubting something gets you in trouble there. Not open dissent or statements of, I think it's untrue. As a matter of fact, I have my own experience with that in Germany, which is one of the most radical societies enforcing that new religion. When you use adjectives of doubt in connection with this topic, like alleged, purported, or reported, or something that, that puts in doubt somehow that what is being claimed may or may not be true, it's already, you know, saying may or may not. You leave it open, but already leaving it open in such a way in Germany can get you in prison. So it all depends on the circumstances. If you are Jewish yourself, or you are a left-winger and you're not suspected of wanting to resurrect National Socialism, then you may get away with statements of doubt like that. But if you are suspected of harboring dissenting views or even being a political right-winger, then you get yourself in hot water doing public statements like that. And I am not sure how extreme it was 500 years ago when you were making similar statements toward Christian faith and Christian Europe. Mm-hmm. But I think it is similar regarding what you have to do to get in trouble. But fortunately, so far, dissidents in the West don't get burns on the stake or get tortured or drowned or whatever for their disbelief. So, the reason for prosecution and persecution is the same. They're ridiculous. But the effect is milder yet, still, fortunately.
Well, yeah, I do need to point out one thing. And, you know, we read a lot about the Inquisition and the idea of prosecuting people for not having a particular view of the Bible or a particular view of God. I'm certainly opposed to. I believe totally in freedom of speech and freedom of religion, the idea that people can believe whatever they want to. I'm certainly a very strong human rights advocate about that. Obviously, our opponents here, the Jewish extremists and those that bow down before them in this world, they don't believe in these human rights, obviously, by what you're exposing here. At the same time, I really want to make the point of something that if you look at all the burnings of the stake or the murders or the prosecutions or the tortures during the, quote, Holy Inquisition, back in the Middle Ages, it pales in comparison. It is nothing compared to the persecutions and the prosecutions that existed under the power of the Jewish Bolsheviks during the Soviet Union and in other Eastern European nations. There are many, many millions of people. There were hundreds of thousands of priests, nuns, Christian advocates who were destroyed, murdered, tortured, and persecuted and suppressed by the Bolsheviks. But this is one of those things that's never really pointed out in our mainstream academia. These kind of comparisons are never allowed to be made in our society today.
That's most certainly true. But I mean, they have their excuses, saying, "Well, the Jews and the communist regimes of Eastern Europe were only one part of the persecutorial apparatus that was set up in the Soviet Union and its satellites, even though they had a vast overrepresentation of a factor of 10 or 20 or other entities until Stalin actually cleaned them out before the Second World War." There have been other people involved too. And then there's the other aspect that most of these Jews, is then claimed, were not even considering themselves as Jewish or religious in any way. But as you said, I mean, that's the nice thing with Judaism, let's say it that way, because it is both a religion and an ethnic entity, or either or. Jews can always wiggle themselves out of it by claiming the one or the other and playing the one against the other. And this way, a lot can be explained and excused.
Well, let's go into that a second after this break. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in a minute. We're going to talk for a moment about Hillel Hatzmon and how he shows that even sometimes anti-Zionist Jews anti-communist Jews, whatever you want to call them, are still acting in what they see as the benefit of the Jewish people, and they've used Jewish networking to gain the power that they do within those groups. We'll be back in a moment. And find the place that's safe and warm. It's not too late. We should be giving. This is David Duke again. I was wondering if you have seen yet my videos and documentaries. On my particular channel, I now have 4.5 million views. It's pretty amazing. But even more amazing is that hundreds of people have taken it upon their own initiative to take my lectures, my debates, my appearances, my broadcasts, and make videos out of them, independent videos. And now there are over 6,000 videos of my appearances and my work, well over 250 million views worldwide and growing. My videos have an average of over 90% positive ratings. Please go to my website, davidduke.com, and check out my videos, subscribe, and please tell your friends and relatives about this program. You and I together can change the world.
Remember this name, Carnivora. That's carnivora.com. What if I told you that this 100% pure and natural product was delivered directly to the White House at President Reagan's personal request at a time when only the president was able to obtain it? Reagan used this amazing product, Carnivora, successfully, a product derived only from nature that has the intelligence to instinctively attack abnormal cells only without harming a single normal cell, and the power to actually wake up critical immune cells from dormancy to attack foreign invaders that don't belong in our bodies. Carnivora is now obtainable by anyone who wants to get healthy and stay that way. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY and protect yourself with 17 naturally occurring compounds that will unleash powerful immune defense. That's 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY and get your Carnivora today. Visit carnivora.com.
Hello, this is David Duke. I want to give you a free gift of an audio edition of my worldwide bestseller, My Awakening. This book is about awakening to the real world, exposing the lies of the Zionist-controlled media. Now, putting my 740-page book into audio was a huge task. It's the length of at least 10 typical audio books. But I promise it will keep you on the edge of your seat, and it's like a college education on these issues. To download the book completely free, you must use a file share program like uTorrent. Details are on my website. Or you can order the book on a DVD data disc for $20. I also have a beautiful hardback edition available at $35, the same price as Amazon, but ordering from my office helps us more, and you may value the fact that I personally autograph each copy. I guarantee that after you finish this book, you will never again see the world in the same way. There must be something worth living for. There must be something worth trying for. Even something's worth dying for. And if one man can stand tall, there must be hope for us all. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're here with Gamera Rudolph on the Rents Radio Satellite Network, reaching the entire world. We have many, many feeds right now, individual feeds going all over the world. And we have a tremendous number of independent stations who are broadcasting our program all over the world, from micro stations to very large AM and FM stations around the world. And it's so important we have this program because we have to this abuse. And we've got to show the tremendous lies of the media. We've got to expose them. You know, a lot of Americans and a lot of people may have been lost by what Gamera and I were saying a few minutes ago when we talked about the role of the Jews in the Bolshevik Revolution. But people don't know the facts anymore. The facts are overwhelming, that the Bolshevik Revolution was overwhelmingly dominated by Jews who worked in collusion, who networked, and were certainly who were driven by a hatred of Christianity, which you find within the Jewish community since the beginning of time. In fact, how many books, you can't count them all, that are written saying that Christians are guilty of anti-Semitism, and the history of the Christian church is guilty of anti-Semitism, and Christians must have a guilt for anti-Semitism. One of the best quotes I can give you, of course, is Winston Churchill. And he wrote this way back in 1920, Zionism versus Bolshevism, a struggle for the soul of the Jewish people. I still think that goes on today, by the way. Zionism on one hand, which has become more, quote, right-wing, and Bolshevism or leftism, Marxism, on the other hand, which is dominates the left. But they still work together when it counts. Churchill said, quote, there's no need to exaggerate the part played in the creation of Bolshevism and in the actual bringing about of the Russian Revolution by these international and for the most part atheistical Jews. He went on to say in this famous document, a full-page article in the Illustrated Sunday Herald in 1920 in Great Britain, that, quote, these people have gripped the Russian people by the hair of their heads and have become practically the undisputed masters of this enormous empire. So whether or not they were religious Jews or whether or not they were, you know, openly going to synagogue or whatever, or Zionists or not, they were still networked as Jews, and they tried to control it. Stalin threw a monkey wrench in the works because they thought Stalin wouldn't be a real serious competitor because he wasn't Jewish, Kamenev, Sverdlov, and many of the others. And so they put him in charge of the secret police, thinking that he's the one guy that couldn't get the alliances he needed. And he turned the tables on him. Okay, we're back, Gamera. Let's talk about that a little bit. And let's go back again to the Holocaust as a religion. How does the Holocaust as a religion serve the Jewish extremist agenda and the Zionist agenda?
It's the sword and shield of Israel and the Zionist lobby, and anything, I would say, anything Jewish that uses the word Jewish. Because if the Jews have been a singled out victim over millennia in general, and in the Holocaust in particular, then they deserve particular reverence as victims, and they have special rights in order to prevent for all future that things like that happen again. It's the battle call, never again. And I think that's what we experience right now again with what Israel is doing. It's been doing for decades, and it's now revving up again the war machine, the justification to go to war. Now it's Iran that's in the crosshairs. Why is it? Because, of course, Israel deserves everything, every support, and is allowed to get away with everything and to do everything to prevent that anyone's ever going to harm the Jewish people again. And Iran being in the Middle East and having military capability that could, in theory, threaten Israel is for them reason enough to prepare to strike out, to prepare for war and drag the whole world into it and make sure that, as a matter of fact, others wage the war that they want to see waged.
That's right.
So it's their way. And I must say it's not just their sword and shield. I would say after the Second World War, it has become a miraculous weapon in the psychological or the propagandist arsenal of every statesman that wants to wage war. If you look into the past wars, be it against Saddam Hussein, Slobodan Milosevic, wherever there was a war to be waged by the West, Hitler was pulled out, the Holocaust was pulled out, ethnic cleansing was threatening, or a mass murderer like Saddam Hussein or Slobodan Milosevic needed to get driven out of power. And it was always Hitler and the Holocaust that was used as a justification to go to war again. So it's a strange thing. World War II
was a massacre. They use a massacre where people, innocent people died to justify these massive wars that end up killing sometimes even more than a million people and cause incredible human suffering. Kind of ironic, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, World War II was allegedly fought to end all wars, like the First World War has already been waged. And as a matter of fact, the one lesson that we should have learned, that war is a bad thing, has been turned upside down. Now this mother of all wars is used as justification to wage even more wars all over the place.
By the way, Gemmer, we should tell our listeners that those strange sounds they're hearing through their radios or their computers is actually, we've discovered it's a rogue fan, I think, on one of your computers. It's not a Zionist folk stepping on the cords or anything. It is a rogue fan, apparently, in Gemmer's report. computer.
Yeah, my laptop's running hot here for some reason, although even though I have nothing running on it, it sometimes revs up. Yeah.
Okay. So yes, I mean, it's just kind of, it's really amazing. And of course, there's a lot of myths associated with these new wars. They had the myths of Saddam's weapons of mass destruction, which turned out to be a total and complete lie. And of course, with Iran, we've heard a thousand times. Most people have probably heard hundreds of times if they watch the news at all, or they read newspaper articles, or they read magazine articles. They probably read or heard or listened to 100 times that Ahmadinejad wants to, quote, wipe Israel off the map. And as people know who listen to my program regularly, you know, I was there when he said that one time, according to the media. And he actually said he believed that the Zionist regime would pass away the same way the Bolshevik regime passed away in Russia. And this is another big lie, and it's again used to create a bigger a Holocaust, a bigger atrocity than even what they allege him to be advocating.
Yeah, that's the one lie. The other lie is, of course, the alleged Iranian program of weapons of mass destruction. They've put the same lie with Saddam Hussein, and now they're trying the same thing. They have been trying that for a decade now with Iran, even though they are many people in position that should know, from secret services to weapons inspectors, that say clearly there is no evidence that Iran is actually trying to build a bomb. But nobody's listening, and politicians and the media keep lying that they're working on it, and the deadline is another year, and a year they're going to be prepared. I think they've done that since the 90s, always saying next year they're going to have it. And we've been hearing that now for 13 or 14 years or so, and it's always been a lie, and people keep believing it.
Let me ask you a question, Gemmer. As a scientific thinker, I mean, and I consider myself to think rather scientifically, not emotionally, about these issues. I try to think in terms of what's really true and correct. It just, I still get shocked every day that they get away with this stuff. Here's Israel that has violated, has obviously proliferated nuclear weapons, violated the wishes of the United States and the rest of the world making nuclear weapons, never allowed a single inspection, created nuclear weapons, created weapons of mass destruction, chemical and biological weapons. Israel is actually a nuclear rogue state, no doubt about it, no question about it. And we've got sanctions now against Iran, who our own intelligence agencies in the United States of America and even some of the intelligence chiefs of Israel admit is not trying to make an atomic weapon. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable, the hypocrisy.
Yeah, and there's a, I would say, double standard. That's already way too mild to put it, because Israel never signed the non-proliferation treaty. And because they didn't sign it, basically they said right from the start, we don't give a damn about what you want us to do or not. We do what we like to do. We never signed it. And because they never signed an accord, they can do what they want. Iran, however, has voluntarily signed that accord, has said, no, we don't want to have it, we don't want to proliferate it, and they stick to the accord. They stay part of the treaty, and in theory, they could get out of it. Just like Israel say, no, we retract our signature,
they couldn't get out of it. You know, they can't even get out. They can't even get away with simply having inspections. Yeah. They can't
In theory, they could, but of course, they don't even want to do it, because they don't want to appear to be a rogue state, because that's not what they are.
Well, in the presidential papers of almost every American president, we discover that almost every American president opposed Israel getting the bomb. And yet, was there ever an effort to sanction Israel to stop them from getting the bomb, or ever an effort to stop even sending them our tax money if they pursued this bomb, if they didn't open to inspections and honor the non-proliferation treaty? Of course not.
You have to understand that the Jewish people have to have a right to have the bomb in order to protect themselves from a new Holocaust. There you have it.
That's right. And it goes right back to the Holocaust religion, doesn't it? So you kind of have to let them get away with it the same way that you might turn your head if God commits an atrocity. You see, it's the same kind of thing, right? I mean, it's the Jewish people, and since they suffered the Holocaust, it's okay. You know, they can do anything. They can do whatever wars they want. They can torture hundreds of thousands of people. They can steal their land. They can wall in whole people. They can drop white phosphorus on school children, and it's okay. Gemmer, thanks so much for being with us. You're always great. I'm going to have you on this program a lot. You always offer a tremendous amount of incredible insight to these subjects. Thanks so much again.
Thank you.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back again tomorrow. Wrap up the week's programming, and I tell you, we're always going to have a good guest for you, and we're going to have a good discussion of things you're not supposed to talk about according to the national and international globalist media. Thanks so much. Back again tomorrow.
There has to be a way that we can restore to life the love we used to know.
No, Nathaniel, no. There must be more to life.
There has to be a way that we can restore to life the light that we have lost.
This is David Duke again. I was wondering if you have seen yet my videos and documentaries. On my particular channel, I now have 4.5 million views. It's pretty amazing. But even more amazing is that hundreds of people have taken it upon their own initiative to take my lectures, my debates, my appearances, my broadcasts, and make videos out of them, independent videos. And now there are over 6,000 videos of my appearances and my work, well over 250 million views worldwide and growing. My videos have an average of over 90% positive ratings. Please go to my website, davidduke.com, and check out my videos, subscribe, and please tell your friends and relatives about this program. You and I together can change the world.
When it comes to silver and gold investing, you have to go with somebody you trust, somebody who understands financial planning, economics, and history. In the late 1990s, Paul Drochten predicted that gold and silver would be the number one growth investment opportunity of the future, and he was right on the mark. Paul began helping his clients and friends make the conversion, and instead of losing money, they have all realized returns as high as 300%. Paul Drochten is now forecasting massive returns on gold and silver bullion in the coming months. Paul's foresight and vision were 2020, and his track record is perfect. You can email him at pdrochten@aol.com. That's Drochten, D-R-O-C-K-T-O-N. And let Paul help you. There is still time. So email Paul for a completely free, no-strings consultation at pdrochten@aol.com.
You're listening to the Rents Radio Network.